Hella Black, episode 154. You know, it's been a lot of tears lately. Tears over corporations leaving Oakland. Tears over elected officials. But, you know, we're going to try and ground y'all in some reality of what's going on the ground in Oakland and give you all an analysis of the conditions and some of the factors that is making things shake in Oakland. So should be a good episode. You know, again, we're going to stick to the facts of the facts the best we can and give you all analysis. So hopefully y'all think with us, not like us. You know what I'm saying? At least we're thinking together and trying to gain a better understanding of all the factors at play, why it's happening, and being able to understand, most importantly, how do we build programs for decolonization to where we can actually govern ourselves and control our reality day in and day out as a people.
Yeah, before we get started, though, definitely, I guess, like, a few housekeeping things we want to...
So, you know, niggas been organizing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, a few housekeeping things real quick, you know, keep the warehouse clean, doors locked.
Yeah, want to shout out the new blog that we've launched. I mean, if you've been following People's Programs for at least the last, like, 3 years, I would say, you might have been keeping up with some of the writings and analysis that we provide via our Medium. But what we're trying to do now, via our Medium and our actual magazine, that we've done two, like, hard, I guess, like, hardcover issues for. And, yeah, we've turned it into a blog, and, excuse me, it is our hope that we can be more consistent with getting content and analysis out. But if you go to freethepeoplepress.com right now, we have, like, we have a digital magazine that we did for Black Radical Month, and that features a story written by Abbas that highlights a community initiative that we've launched last month, and have another event coming up this month that we'll be able to highlight soon. But that feature story of that magazine has a piece written by Abbas that highlights Roderick's Barbecue in East Oakland.
Shout out to everybody who pulled up to our first community business initiative and bought some merch. You know, if you haven't got any merch yet and you want to get some, go to peoplesprograms.com. We did a merch collaboration with them and Free Bread.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been trying to, again, which we'll talk about throughout this episode, is just a lot of the discourse that's been happening around, you know, corporations leaving and I guess, like, this propaganda around Oakland not being safe for businesses, which, you know, it's never as black and white as people want to make it, and we'll try to provide analysis. We will provide analysis on that, but we've been trying to get people to wrap their heads around, like, what is a community business versus a business in the community, right? Like, what did In-N-Out, which we'll talk about, what does In-N-Out do for the community? What does Denny's do for the community? What do some of these more smaller places that have left, what did they actually do for the community besides take our money and say, oh, shop with black businesses as a marketing tool for them, but they really don't
shop local.
You know, they don't really care anything about the community or the black people in the community further than
they own pocketbooks.
Period. Right. And then again, also on in that digital magazine, we just have a bunch of art from local artists. We got some poetry in there.
We got a great piece.
Yeah, I wrote a piece.
Supplements mm-hmm. we've talked about in the podcast and probably what we're going to talk about today. So make sure y'all tap in with that piece as well.
And then an organizer and member of People's Programs, Deani, also has a piece they wrote connecting the genocide in Gaza to some of the genocidal conditions here in West Oakland. So there's just a lot of analysis on there. So I would say go to freethepeoplepress.com, go to Instagram and follow our Instagram so y'all can keep up with just like the latest writings and analysis. And as always, go to patreon.com/hellablackpodcast and share you know, the pod with as many people as possible. Because
subscribe and help us fund this. You know what I'm saying? Help us fund the podcast. Help us fund what we is doing, you know? So I mean, appreciate everybody who's been doing it. You know what I'm saying? So tell a friend. Tell a friend to become a patron of Hella Black. You know what I'm saying? We kicking that real, speaking that truth to New African Struggle.
Yeah, there are a lot of great podcasts out there, but
are there? No, I'm just
talking. Yeah, I mean, I got something that I listen to for to get analysis, but I would say, like, objectively speaking, there tends to be a gap in really understanding like what this means for the oppressed New African nation, even on some of these more, you know, black or New African or African podcasts that claim to be about Pan-Africanism, but, you know, reject our political line as a nation within a nation and our right to sovereignty.
Settler colonial position, colonized position as a domestic colony in the so-called United States of America.
So if you respect the idea of sovereignty for Africans here in America, I think this podcast might be the only platform where you can get that international and national understanding of how, you know, Western imperialists have prevented us from having self-determination and sovereignty. And so, yeah, while I think that there are some great podcasts out there, I think we have a niche and a lane that we feel well in. I just wish that we would. I don't want to wish because, you know, I'm going to listen. I'm going to think about what Ross says where he says, you know, don't try, just do. So I was going to say I wish we could
record more.
Yeah, record more. So I,
yeah, we going to record more. We keep saying it. We're going to keep putting it out there. But again, also, you know, when you run in a cadre organization and that's your first and main priority, and of course media is a priority from a cadre organization and getting information out to the masses of people, but you know, sometimes you might set your intention to record in the morning and then something happens that needs your immediate attention within the organization, then your whole day has to change, you know what I'm saying? And then you have other obligations in the day, then you know the podcast doesn't get recorded. I'm speaking to a very real situation to why, you know, we recording, you know, today on Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, 11:15 p.m. or a.m. See, that's how, you know, it's been a week.
But regardless, I think, again, I would just encourage y'all to keep listening to the pod, re-listen to episodes. Me, myself, even the podcast that I listen to, I listen to them over and over again to fully gain understanding. And I cannot echo the sentiment enough of how grateful I am that we've been able to get this much support over the last 2016 was when we did our first podcast. So it's about to be 8 years. When was our first episode? Like October or something? Like the fall of?
I'd have to scroll all the way back. Yeah, it was a sunny day. I remember that.
Let me see.
We walked down Ashby.
Yeah, we going on almost 8 years. So I'm just, you know, I'm grateful for all y'all support, man.
Could have a 8 year Hella Black live show. Maybe might be coming up or something. I don't know.
June 1st, 2016.
I knew it was a sunny day.
Oh, that's insane.
I remember the sunny day we walked down from
8 years, bro.
From Ashby to San Paulo. That's crazy.
I mean, the organization about to be 7 years old.
Yeah. Hey, been doing something.
I'll probably listen to some of these episodes and cringe.
Holy hell. Yeah.
I know I would. I found one of my notes from like 2017 around like an analysis I had on capitalism. Like, you could just tell I was just talking. Like, you ain't read shit. Like, what does this even mean? It is so wrong. Like,
yeah. I will say, though, there's some episodes, you feel me, that we actually, our analysis ended up proving to be true. You know what I'm saying?
Some of these, like, I want to delete.
For sure. There's a lot of episodes we should delete. I would love to delete if I get your editorial approval, my brother.
I'm delete some of these.
Delete. but we go back to episode 2. We just, you know, we was talking about Jay-Z's, the Cornel West, the Van Jones, you know, and the neoliberal class, you feel me? And, you know, a lot of what we were saying then proved to be true in the moment and continues to be true today, you know. So there is a lot of game there. There is a lot of game.
There's primitive
a lot of
game analysis,
given, you know. But
primitive.
Again, you could also, I think that's the what some might say the vulnerable part of being a podcaster. You can go back and listen to every episode, and you know, you can be like, "Oh, the hell are these niggas talk about?" But then, you know, you listen to a newer episode, you're like, "Oh, dang." But if you think about it, you go from episode 2, then you listen to Tales of the Town, you're like, what? That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey.
I mean, this is a byproduct of, like, growing up in front of people.
Judge me by my progress.
Yeah, growing up in front of people. But, yeah, 8 years, yeah.
8 years, you know.
So, appreciate all y'all's support regardless, like I was saying, whether you're able to be a patron or not. In terms of this episode, right, like Abbas was alluding to, trying to provide some analysis on, yeah, it's a local issue, but national and also international as well, right? And so, yeah, I just say we find ourselves like in a very backwards and conflicting moment on a local, national, international level, especially with it being an election year, right? And the fascists like saying any and everything to secure their political and economic interests. Like, this is the time of year where it's like,
and yeah, you're also seeing like the different fronts of fascism as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the different sectors of it that might even be beefing with each other at who's the best fascist.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, especially even on like the YouTube ads and stuff with all the different like senators and like, I don't know,
county supervisors.
Yeah, like these aldermen, like they should be going at each other. It's wild, and they just like saying anything, you know. And but it's also, yeah, it's just a wild time because they're like playing on people's emotions, and really playing on people's fears, you know. Because
it's fears, emotions for sure. It's the hypersensitization of it, but there's also real things happening. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So, but it's the way it's being manipulated by, you know, right wing, by people who probably might utter the words and even call themselves progressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's being manipulated for certain economic reasons and certain political reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like, things are being used for certain gains. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, it's a dirty game that's being played.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dirty game being played. It's basically like, who wants to control the police at this aspect, especially in the city of Oakland? It's like, who wants to control the police?
No, you can't control.
You know what I'm saying?
You want to be side by side with them because you ain't no controlling these pigs. We can look at. So let's look at. We're going to use one specific situation, one recent situation, to provide this historical and contemporary analysis. Right. So what happened with In-N-Out recently?
Well, you know. Some, you've seen it even just go viral, even on Instagram, even amongst like people like that I follow. Oh my God, it's In-N-Out's going, it's leaving, man. Oakland, bro, we got to do better. Bay Area, man, we got to do better. Like, In-N-Out's even leaving. Like, this is insane, right? So In-N-Out, which is owned by a right-wing evangelical billionaire, decided to close its doors in East Oakland by the airport, citing crime and safety concerns. The business itself has been economically very successful. There's always a line, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't because of economic reasons is what they're claiming, but rather because of crime, rather because of safety concerns, because they said, you know, windows have been broken in and cars have been broken in over there. And the owner, who's a right-wing evangelical billionaire who supports the so-called state of Israel, decided to say, oh, we're going to move out of Oakland. Right. I think we have to understand the certain right wing goals of that, right? Where Oakland in many ways is becoming this political punching bag by the far right in an election year where, you know, it's accused that the Democratic left isn't tough on crime, which is just a joke in itself, because we know Joe Biden put more police into the streets than Trump, funded the police more than Trump. Right. We could even say the mayor of Oakland, Shang Tao, has put in, you know, voted for more police academies, you know, has been pro-police, has even said it out of her own mouth that she's in solidarity with Oakland police and is for the Oakland Police Department, right? But you're seeing this right-wing campaign of, you know, attacking, quote-unquote, the Democrats because what they want is the right-wing control. So for me, I personally, my analysis on this is that this is a part of the game that is being played, right, of creating over-sensationalization of a crime. And when you do that, you're putting fear into people, right? You're putting fear for a political objective of wanting to turn Oakland into this right-wing, tough-on-crime city post the abolition movement, right? Mm-hmm. So she says, okay, we're closed. We're closing down are in and out because of the crime and safety. Then everyone gets all mad, say, Oakland, we got to do better. And then the funny parts in is when, you know, you have these so-called organizers and pastors coming together and say, hey, we are going to pray for the city of Oakland at the In-N-Out Burger parking lot. Like, you can't make some of this stuff up. Like some Simpsons. Like, shit. This is really like some Simpsons meets South Park meets Boondocks of people coming to the parking lot of In-N-Out, the right-wing evangelicals, some of the black clergy in Oakland, and the Oakland NAACP all coming together at the In-N-Out parking lot to lead a prayer circle because we are, quote-unquote, mourning the loss of In-N-Out.
Praying. I mean, they did say, like, praying in front of a corporation,
like,
is insane.
That is, like, that is the most, like, just even from a theological perspective, like, that is, like, you praying false in front of an In-N-Out, like, that is, like, literally worshiping capitalism.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I understand prayer, but to say, to use this moment, a political moment that is being funded by the right-wing evangelicals.
Maybe they don't see that's political, though. Maybe it's...
I don't know. Some of these people are smarter and know exactly what they're doing. And doing that in front of the In-N-Out parking lot, right? So that is a... of a In-N-Out that's owned by a right-wing evangelical who supports Israel. There's some nasty things going on. Right? With an agenda of doing what? Increasing the police presence in the city of Oakland. That's what the goal is. You know, so it's, again, when we hear organizations like the NAACP in Oakland, it's not surprising if you look at the history of the NAACP. I mean, it's 2024. You're still running around calling yourselves colored people and organizing behind that. Nah, so seriously. Like, like, seriously, that's just insane. But this is the same organization that was in the front of the courthouse demanding police officer to be reinstated as the chief of police, Armstrong. Right? So we're dealing with a class of people who claim to be activists, right? Who claim to be in the community, who claim to be organizers, who actually have a very much pro-police agenda, want to see the militarization of the police in Oakland, want to see tough-on-crime policing, wanting to see essentially pat-downs and, you feel me, armed raids, and, you know, essentially you're calling for the killing of any person who does any type of property related crime. Like, this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, we're seeing neoliberalism at a very high stage, right? Because even if you think, I think it was Acts for Gospel that was a part of the, right? And like, Acts has a long history of community service, right? This is where we had our free COVID testing, right? But this is what neoliberalism does, right? It will push civil and human rights while simultaneously pushing the privatization of all sectors of society. You know, when you have the privatization of all sectors of society, you're going to have the police to come and protect the wealth, the interests of the wealthy. That's just what happens with neoliberalism. So I think it's where it's like that very murky line where some people know better and some people don't, because then you have some real church going folks who are like,
yeah,
I want to pray for the city. Cause it's like, yeah, you said earlier, it, like we've been saying, like, things are bad here. Like, it's
bad.
It is bad, but we're going to talk about why it's actually bad. And we're going to talk about the role that some of these corporations, some of these people have played. What does In-N-Out care about community safety? What have they done? How many backpack giveaways have they done? How many grocery giveaways have they done? How many kids eat free today, mm-hmm, have they done? They don't do anything but take money from the people. That's all they do. And we'll see how this plays out in a couple of years, but I wonder, like, what that real estate is going to be used for too later on. You know, like, these, they look decades. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, so it's
I mean, even with the, you know, the Walmart closing over there and,
yeah,
you know, especially if you think about it, like, from a real estate perspective, we know that real estate war is going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we look right over there at the Coliseum, you know what I'm saying? The parking lot over there and how much money and they want to develop. You know, if you think about it, they are letting these things happen for a reason. They're not wanting to solve certain things for a reason, right? They want resources to be taken away. Because if we just understand the history of the development of Oakland, especially if we go back, again, the Tales of the Town, where we talk about 7th Street,
mm-hmm,
right? We talk about even gentrification, right? A part of gentrification is the actual resource extraction from the community, right? To where then those resources are then bought up. And then new, quote-unquote, developments happen that isn't for the people who've been living there in general, right? It ain't no secret that, you know, they want DP Stokeland to be hyper-developed and to be redeveloped.
It's like one of the last
enclaves.
Yeah, of like
real African, new African community. What you feel me? The you know, brown folks out there as mm-hmm. well. You know what I'm saying? And it's like a real hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if that's part of the war, and you think about the Oakland airport,
mm-hmm.
similar to how you would think about the post office on 7th Street,
mm-hmm.
now they want to be able to redevelop, and we're going to start hearing about the 98th corridor, you know what I'm saying, to where they're going to want to build, you know, nice hotels and extravagant shopping and build a nice mall over there or something, because part of their public infrastructure development over that in the area has been saying that's what they want to do. Hey, right, you don't see the development of E14 and the way the lanes are shifting for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're future prepping. Focused. They're prepping. They're making their preparations to turn the land into something that is more beneficial for the upper class and the bourgeoisie.
Mm-hmm. So in the process, they're going to be removing a certain demographic of the people. And if we recognize what demographic of people are based on we have to understand this. I'm going to get into this a little later, but I'm going to say it now. We have to understand this as a war on black youth, which Oakland has historically done, where you're talking about the Black Panther Party, right? Where we can even talk about this moment where this tough on crime resurgence is a byproduct of the defund the police movement, in which you saw Oakland public schools and Oakland youth, really Oakland youth and BOP, the Black Organizing Project, right, remove OUSD school police. Oakland Unified School District School Police, right? So this is youth leading these movements, right? And this is a response to that.
Again, it goes back to our episode where we talked about containment strategies and counterinsurgencies, because if you understand down to a science how social movements work, especially in the United States of America, Oakland in many ways is the epicenter. What happens in the city of Oakland essentially is going to cause shockwaves throughout the whole nation. You know, so if you're able to contain revolution, if you're going to be able to contain rebellion in the city of Oakland and dictate it for it to move in a certain desired direction of the state, there's a reason why everything in Oakland is happening at this moment, right? Because as the United States acts in its imperialist fashion, as its conditions here at home are going to get worse, why are they putting in cop cities? Right. So we got to understand the development of containment strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And trying to stop any type of, you know, rebellions from existing. Right. Because if you know what happened in 2009 with the assassination and the murder of Oscar Grant and the way that sent shockwaves throughout the nation that we still is, you know, they're trying to still contain. Now in 2024, which led to, you know, the Black Lives Matter and, of course, all the contradictions within that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a significant epoch to where they were hey, we got to contain this.
We can even look at last month, shutting down the port. Huh? Shut down the port. Preventing weapons from being shipped. We can look at the role that, black folks in Oakland during, we can still consider South Africa apartheid regime, you know, but like shutting down the ports, it's just like historically the role that black youth, the black community of Oakland has played in shaping national, international politics. That's what's going on here. But again, if the thing that the media does a great job doing is like getting people caught up in moments and making these moments seem like they appeared out of thin air, you know, like, that's what they do a good job of doing is like
sensationalization through their own.
How do we get here?
Capitalist direction.
That's what people don't ask.
You've seen in Union Square they're saying they're shutting down Macy's, and now they're trying to do the same thing, and people don't realize they're shutting down 150 Macy's nationwide. People don't go shop at stores like that anymore. That's just the part of the shift of the economy. Why is there no Blockbuster? Did Blockbuster shut down because of crime? You feel me? 150 Macy's nationwide, but of course, because we're in the Bay Area, it's in San Francisco, and there's all this talk around, you know, bipping and robberies, they're going to politicize it into a certain direction because they want San Francisco to become, excuse my language, Florida in some ways. You know what I'm saying? They want it to become this, like, right-wing right-wing city, you know?
Or they recognize
conservative.
That, they recognize that people don't fully understand the depths of what some of these corporations serve as, like, damn near corporate real estate moguls.
That's what...
you know, like...
Straight up.
Realistically, though. Yeah. Like, these people just be owning hella land. And they'll sell it when it becomes the most profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with the sentiment of like Oakland, we need to do better, but it ain't. I don't think starting at and praying at In-N-Out is the start. I don't think like
that's not going to change the culture.
You know,
we can collectively agree that a code needs to be developed in the city of Oakland. Collectively, mm-hmm. we can agree to certain things, right? We can agree that change needs to be made, but is falling into a right wing evangelical campaign about praying in front of the city of and praying in front of In-N-Out, is that part of it? Is that part of the solution?
We should have been praying at these schools when they were shutting these down. We should have been praying at Mac when it was lead found in the water and students was getting cancer.
Hello.
We should be praying on the corner as masses of new Africans sleep on the street. That's if we want to pray for something. I don't know. I don't think that In-N-Out leaving shouldn't be the catalyst.
You praying in front of a place that offers you some mediocre French fries and a mediocre burger.
Bro, people was crying over Denny's.
And their meat ain't even halal.
People was crying over Denny's leaving. I'm like, okay, it can't be nobody from here because we used to go to Denny's after functions and they was racist as fuck. Didn't even want to serve niggas. What y'all talking about? Like, y'all don't even eat at these. Come on, man. What are we talking
Denny's?
About?
Like, I even seen an article that came out. It was like, a long time 53-year-old Oakland diner is shutting down. I'm like, y'all are talking about Denny's?
A corporation. Nigga, I'm like, you would think these niggas talking about Lois the Pie Queen. Denny's. Denny's would good. Come on. You know, we gotta. There is changes that need to be made. And the first change will be to recognize the true causes. The true causes. Because right now, we only looking at the effects. And by not looking at the causes, you know.
So speaking of causes, can you tell us about some of the conditions that got us to this point?
Number one. How we frame things on this podcast is recognizing that everything is a byproduct of an economic system and economic motives. So this is why you hear us talk a lot about colonization, which is an economic effort. You hear us talk a lot about capitalism, which is an economic system that has social, political, and ideological manifestations. So why you hear us talk about imperialism, right? Because we understand how economics governs all aspects of life. So there's just a few stats that I will that I'll speak to help us grasp the economic situation we find ourselves in. Right, again, so if we can do this, we can talk about, if we can understand the causes, we can see very simple how we got to these effects. Again, that first cause being capitalism, right? Capitalism as a social, economic, and political system where the means of production, right, the land, the tools, the hours, the jobs are all decided by a few wealthy elite. Right. And that system creates the following economic conditions, right, where you have 70% of people on food assistance programs working full or part time. 70% of people on food assistance programs, they either work full or part time. 53% of people sleeping in shelters work full or part time. This is a national stat. Right. You have the cost of basic goods, eggs, bread, meat, have gone up 76% since 2020. So when they talk about how all these billionaires, I remember like all the stories that was like all these billionaires and millionaires that were being made over during 2021, 2020, 2021. That's because the cost of basic goods have gone up, right? Wages have been stagnant since the late 1970s. For over half a century, wages have been stagnant. So as the cost, so your wage might go up, but so did the cost of living, right? It says that workers spend nearly half of their income on rent. People spend nearly half of their income on rent, right? Then there's this situation where people love talking about the Biden, these Democrats love talking, these Democratic fascists love talking about how I think it's like 14 million jobs have been created under the Biden administration. What are the quality of jobs, though? If we talking about 70% of people that work are on food assistance programs, 53% of people sleeping in shelters have work full or part time, what quality of jobs are we getting? Right? In Oakland, we have Oakland has a $4.2 billion budget for the next 2 years. That's larger than some countries' GDPs. This city, bro, has a $4.2 billion budget. That's larger than some countries' GDPs. The OPD has a $700 million budget from 2023 to 2025. Right? 16%, that's 16, damn near 17% of the city's budget.
Mm-hmm.
While Parks and Rec Student Services has 40 million. That's less than 1%. Right? This is the economic turmoil and like ideological backwardness that governs this city, that governs this nation. I say this as I myself have thousands of dollars of medical debt from work-related stress. What are we talking about? Quality of life. And you like In-N-Out ain't gonna solve none of In-N-Out being here, In-N-Out not being here. It's not doing nothing to impact the quality of our lives. Right? We have to recognize that this whole situation, again, we find ourselves in is a byproduct of an economic reality that thus leads to like the following political situation where you have in 2023, the police killed 1,200 people. There were 1,600 robberies in Oakland from January to July. That makes or January to June of last year. That makes complete sense to me when you look at, again, the economic situation. Niggas is broke. Niggas is hungry. Right?
People sleeping on the streets.
What do you expect humans to do?
People working and can't even pay rent. What if we can't afford rent but is working? Because there isn't a living wage in the city of Oakland.
There were 118 homicides last year. Like this when we look at, again, the economic situation, this does not catch me off. This just seems like simple 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah. It's going to happen because of that. It's just the reality.
When people are degraded every day by the system that they find themselves in, how can you not become that?
And you see it every day as well. Sometimes you'll hear from people like, oh, you know, they ain't broke. They don't need it. But what happens... All right, let's take that for example if that's actually true, right? But what happens when the society is all based in consumerism? When every single day you are pumped at and you're seen as less worthy if you don't have the newest thing, if you don't have the nice clothes, if you don't have the nice jeans, if you don't have nice shoes, right? So you're talking about a society that is consumerist where your value is determined based off of the clothes that you wear, based off of the car that you was driving. You feel me? So if someone can't afford to, you know, quote unquote, be a part of this America, they going to do something to be a part and feel like they're a part of it.
We've been dealing with these,
if that is the case, you know?
Yeah. We've been dealing with these wild, we've been having these storms, right? The last couple of days. And like, there are people who have to sleep outside on the streets of this shit. I'm driving past people. You watching people. You feel me? Smoke dope on the corner. I'm watching motherfuckers walk around, the holes in their jeans, ass out, feet out, like seeing that every day and having to just keep going on with my life. Like, what is that doing to my psyche? What is it doing to the person's psyche actually has to live in that?
And then what does it do to everyone else's psyche as well? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it do to people like living in those neighborhoods, like really struggling too? You feel me? It's like your life ain't valued. Humanity ain't
There's
valued.
There's a total disregard.
So like, why would
humanity.
You value humanity when everything around you isn't being valued? And no one is teaching you to value humanity either.
There's a total disregard for humanity, right? So we have this economic situation again, where we talk about wages being stagnant. 70% of people on food assistance programs working full or part-time. You have people who sleep in shelters also working. You have the cost of basic goods going up. You have people spending more than half of their income just on rent alone. So you ain't even including food. You ain't including clothes. You ain't including gas, right? And from that, you have... For that total disregard of humanity via the economic system, you're going to get a total disregard for humanity in the way that humans engage with one another, right? And then from that reality, right? And we mentioned some of the situations in Oakland, right? And I think in another episode, we should use this as an opportunity to like expand on the war for the cities that we've been kind of alluding to, right? And really using like Yaki and George as a basis for that analysis. But for right now, we have to understand this as a war for the city and a war on New African youth, right? And this situation is, we've already alluded to this, already made this clear that we understand this as a very dire situation. 1,600 robberies. I mean, it's the pigs. This is the city of Oakland giving you the
data.
Oakland Police Department giving you this data. So in the city of Oakland, who are, to me, you know,
the OPD who be robbing people every single day.
Hand to hand, right? They hand to hand.
Literally
they
robbing people every single day when they do their raids and all that. You know what I'm saying? If you think about the civil asset forfeiture that happens through quote unquote police departments.
But let's just say, I would say even 100 robberies is too much. Now, I don't know you utopian shit, but if like I believe if we can actually have respect for one another, that you
want robberies could be eliminated very
people
much.
People have solid jobs and healthcare and feel like they actually value to contribute to society.
If their human rights are protected and respected, we should see that. And you're going to see the people stop it. You know what I'm saying? Because the culture is now developed towards one that is humanistic and egalitarian.
Mm-hmm. So we get that economic system, which thus creates that political situation. And from that political reality, you get some different responses that you and I have been talking about, right? Some of the responses I would say are, again, from misunderstanding, and some of these responses are from a full understanding and wanting to take advantage of the situation, of the people's dire desire for need and for change, right? And so we can talk about the first part. Yeah, from that economic situation, you get this political reality, and from that political reality, you get people responding in different ways, right? I think some of the And most of the responses have been tough on crime, right? But I would say that the tough on crime rhetoric has like two elements to it. One being some people like, again, just feeling really vulnerable, scared, and confused at the situation we find ourselves in. And then the others capitalizing on these people's
emotions,
vulnerability,
pain,
and being scared, right? So yeah, when you're scared and miseducated, it makes sense as to why someone would be out in front of Target, like recall Pamela Price, recall Shang Tao, like recognizing that these people are nothing but pawns for an ideology and for a system, right? But then you get the people.
Also, doesn't mean we're endorsing Shang Tao.
No, I mean I would hope anybody who's even just heard 6 seconds of any
Pamela
of our 153 episodes.
Because what is a progressive prosecutor?
Yeah.
And we just already told you about Shang Tao and her pro-police agenda for the city of Oakland in the beginning of this episode.
Just ask yourself, what does having these crimes prosecuted more harshly going to do? How is that going to address your rent taking up half of your income? How is locking people up going to address the fact that wages have been stagnant for over half a century? How is locking people up? Robberies and stuff can stop right now. Robbery isn't the reason why wages are stagnant. Robbery isn't the reason why you have to pay more than half your income on rent. Robbery isn't the reason why they robbing you. If you're talking about basic goods have gone up 76%, they rob us every day.
We consent to
every single day they rob us. You talk about getting bipped.
What about PG&E raising their rates? Robbery.
They rob us every day. All right, so like again, we have to ask ourselves, like we got to begin to think critically, which we know society doesn't want us to do, which we know media doesn't want us to do. They want to just feed you information. That's why you're saying like, you don't even got to agree with us. We're just trying to give you some objectives, like just to think, start to think with us, right? So I think anyone who's found themselves like saying like, or wondering like, what can we do? We need more. We need new. Like, first thing you can do is understand the economic system and how that again governs society, right? So we have that misunderstood, miseducated, right? Again, recognizing that putting more people in jail will not address stagnant wages. It will not address you having meaningful employment. Then on the other side, you have those who fully understand the institutions and ideology of this country and how they were formed. And they choose to mislead the people to buy into capitalism and to overt policing, right? And like we said, that's like the very dirty and nasty work of integration, which I want to let you expand on the next question in terms of like integration. But I think you see all the time, just because I follow like so many of the peers and people in the town saying, what can we do to change Oakland? And I would say, first and foremost, the first thing you got to do is learn. You have to learn. Learn the history of this city, learn the history of policing in this city, whether it's recruiting KKK members from the South, recruiting those fascist Jim Crow pigs from the South and bringing them up here in a response to the Great Migration, in the response to the Black community growing as a result of white flight, right? Like, learn this history and see, it's, you'll, once you learn our history, you'll see how it's like manifesting in present day. This is just, we talking about what's happening today is the same thing that was happening in the 1950s. What's happening today is the same thing that's happening in the 60s and 70s. It's just a 21st century manifestation of it, you know? And I think lastly, last thing I'll say on this is, I think this also speaks to like the lack of creativity on the lack of like belief and creativity. And maybe this is falls, maybe this is like falls on, I think we'll have to say it falls on like organizers and organizations like ourselves who claim to have a full grasp of this thing. Like we should be motivating the people, immersing ourselves in the people in a much better way to where they can start to dream outside of the things that are presented in front, you know, like they, like you said, the state. Like they really believe that the only option is more police to this thing that what that isn't a byproduct of the police.
But it just shows you how much our development has been arrested by capitalist imperialism, that even our dreams end up going back to backing the state and the system that is oppressing us. Right? That's how like deep, you know what I'm saying? If you think about like Fanon and how he's talking about the psychological aspect of colonization, right? We are so colonized within our mentality that even our consciousness, when we think we're coming up with a solution, the solution is a part of our genocide and it's a part of our people's constant oppression. That's a deep issue.
Yeah.
That's a deep issue. You know, Jaleel will be talking about all the time, we got to free our minds, start asking followers. So the question is, too, what you're alluding at is, again, it is the responsibility of revolutionary cadre organizations. If we're not getting and being amongst the people, amongst the community, right, versus just being online and being in webinars, being in our echo chambers, mm-hmm. If we ain't amongst the people, why are we going to expect the people to act how we want them to act? You know what I'm saying? Or to develop a collective consciousness that is decolonized. It's part of the problem. Part of the problem.
I want to go back to the NAACP because I feel like we did two things. We kind of, one, let them off the hook. And two, I think we should just give people like a historical understanding of some of the like, what you can say, I guess, like progressive or, yeah, some of the more, like the things they've actually done for new Africans, right? Because they do have some wins, period. If you, they do have some things, but it's important to recognize or to understand it via its historical time frame, right? Yeah, so I think my first part is like, how have they become regressive as it pertains to the advancement of new Africans? And then what is actual advancement and how could they be contributing to that?
Yeah, I think when we think about Black struggle, the new African struggle in the United States of America, we got to understand the historical development, the epochs, and how organizations and consciousness have shifted over times, right? Essentially, there's two ideals, integration or independence, right? And if you look at it from that foundation, the NAACP has never been for independence of colored people. Mm-hmm. It's been for the advancement of colored people within the structure of the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
within integration, right? So mm-hmm. even if you look at the foundation of NAACP, right, you know, it wasn't exactly colored people in the founding. You know what I'm saying? So if we look at it from that realm, right, they've been tasked with essentially integrating, creating policy, essentially putting, as Malcolm would say, a Band-Aid on a gaping wound instead of healing the wound entirely, right? Now, does that mean that they haven't done things to advance civil rights, to advance, you know, policies that might be less, you know, less against our people? Yes, there's been, you know, those like minuscule reforms, like you could say, right? If you're being fair and objective,
that's
right?
Yeah.
That has happened.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, you know, Jaleel talks about, and we are all liberators, he talks about that the revolutionary forces must demand that the civil rights forces do the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to hold the NAACP is to the bare minimum, right? But what happens when the bare minimum is now actually just being, essentially their bare minimum is a part of uplifting the state. And again, we know the national NAACP, right? Versus a just localized local chapter.
Yeah.
Right? You know, a chapter in San Jose might function very differently than the chapter in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we look at specifically the NAACP in Oakland, what are they championing? You know, we're talking about a moment in Oakland where, you know, people were talking about abolish the police, where organizations like BOP were fighting to get and fighting and successfully getting the police out of schools. And then now you have essentially the NAACP of Oakland being a part of a counterinsurgency in terms of defunding the police, in terms of abolishing the police. And now they're on the courthouse steps saying, we want more police. We want to reinstate a police chief, right?
Just because he black.
Just because he black, right? So we taking this colored on one. We taking, okay, we want, you know, that's our chief. We is taking this superiority complex just, you know, because he's black makes him a good cop, right? Rather than actually looking at the very institutions. And then they are saying, okay, let's bring more cops. That's our solution, right? So their advancement, you know, maybe they are a part of a philosophy of advancing colored people. I guess that's what they're doing is advancing colored people and the structure of the United
National
States.
National advancement local of
police.
Colored pigs.
That's what they're doing, colored pigs. You feel me? That's, there you go. There's the answer, right? So for us as a, I think, revolutionary cadre organization, we got to point to the contradictions and demand upon them more. And up the ante. You say you're for the people. You say you're for the advancement of colored people. If we look at it from a scientific standpoint, black cops engage black people at a similar rate that white cops engage the black community.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? If we look at the case of Freddie Gray, it was a bunch of black cops. Just because you black don't mean you good. Just because you black doesn't mean you ain't have that blue on. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there might be small examples, but again, it's the institution we was talking about. It's the greater institution of policing that has its roots in the enslavement of Africans, that has its roots in protecting private property. And again, and this is that time period where they want private property to be protected. They want these corporations to be protected. They want the targets to be protected. You feel me? Like, the police ain't doing nothing to help you. You feel me? Yo, window get babe, they ain't doing nothing to help you. Your business getting robbed, they ain't doing nothing to help you. Your business getting robbed, the city of Oakland ain't doing nothing to help you. They might charge you to pick up the trash or the glass. Right, so we have to just be real about these organizations and what their goals are. And expose them essentially as a part of the bourgeoisie, right? They might not even be in that class background of being the bourgeoisie, but they're acting as, you know, the black bourgeoisie and trying to secure the interests for the black bourgeoisie and advance the black bourgeoisie to be the face of Oakland, but the masses of New Africans is being exploited, right? And we see this at a time period as well as post quote-unquote COVID, even though COVID's still going on. And I think we have to also have the understanding of the international economy and the different shifts with the wars, the different shifts with de-dollarization, even though my argument is that the U.S. was already ready for de-dollarization. But there's different shifts economically happening right now. Mm-hmm. There's shifts in a bunch of money is going to the Zionists. A bunch of money is going to Ukraine, right? Then you have a moment in time where incarceration rates because of COVID were going down. Even if it was around like 1%, you still, if you're talking about 1% of, you know, millions of niggas locked up. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
So why now are we seeing a tough on crime? Why now are we saying lock people up? Why now? We in the middle of a war.
You need that labor.
You need that free labor, right? As labor. Their contradictions are shifting overseas, as the money is shifting, the profit margins are shifting, what do we need to now do now? We need to lock niggas up, lock new Africans up, make them forced labor. You know, we just seen that example of I think his brother name was Hamza. He was locked up, and you know he worked days in and days out and maybe made like $17. Don't quote me on the exact number. $17. He was making cents on the hour. He donated his whole paycheck to Palestine. If that don't show you like a solidarity, but it also exposes that he is a slave inside of the system. And a lot of these military goods is being made by people locked up. Mm-hmm. So what do they want to do? They want to lock up all the kids, you feel me, who was quote unquote committing crime, put them inside a prison, and then force them to work. Who's going to make money off of that?
They also want to take that energy off the street.
Who's going to make the money out? Make that money? Target. And of course, you know, also the revolutionary, you know, the potential of people who have to risk it all, you feel me, to put food on their table. They learn from the party. A lot of the party's members was made up of people who had to, you know, who was living, you feel me, in the quote-unquote lumping.
Hand to foot.
You know? So, again, that's why you see...
A foot to mouth, what they call it, or hand to mouth. Hand to mouth.
I knew what you were saying. you know what I'm saying? But we look at the game that is being played.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Again, if you know, it's like chess, man. You know, the man, they use their chess pieces. They're using the NAACP as their chess piece to advance a certain type of agenda in the city of Oakland.
I mean, they're using... Again, they take the. I'm watching a lot of people being taken advantage of.
That's what's called.
And they don't even know that they're being taken advantage of. That's the nastiest part, especially when you know people who have given so much to this community or have taken so much from this community in their past and like now want to right the wrongs, and you know it's so many. It's a very layered situation, but at the end of the day, like objectively speaking, wow, we know who's coming out on top of this thing right now. It's the fascists. It's the one. It's the elite. It's the 1%. Like the fact that people can, the fact that these niggas get $700 million, the fact that the youth programs get 40, and most of that is going to like staffing. It ain't no real resources being put into these, being put into it. Right? You ain't going to these youth community. You ain't going to these youth centers and leaving with groceries every day. You ain't leaving with gas cards every day. They ain't paying. You know, it's like the very basic. But yeah, like not too many material needs being met.
But that's why history is so important.
Yeah.
Because if we understand history and if we're in the community actually educating people, you know, if we talk about even W.B. Du Bois as an example, he was a part of the NAACP. Study his life. You know what I'm saying? Like study his life. How did he die? He died a Pan-Africanist. He rejected, he's one of the most, aside from Martin Luther King, he's one of the most praised assimilationists.
Mm-hmm.
Was a part of the NAACP and left. Became a Pan-Africanist. Decided to become a part of revolutionary nationalist movements. So if Du Bois left back then, why are you in there now? You know what I'm saying? I understand like they have the youth programs and stuff. There's some good things that they do, right? Okay. But what are they pushing people to? You know what I'm saying? And how do we make that shift from a colonial integrative strategy to a revolutionary strategy, you know? And that will only happen through strong revolutionary cadres, that have youth programs, that have youth involved.
We gotta get to work. You know what I'm saying? We have to get to work.
This is a message to us first and foremost.
Yeah.
You feel me? Sorry, we mad about the NAACP, but they got their youth programs going and they, you know, they get their kids indoctrinated into believing into the system. Okay, well, we need to develop our youth programs more. And let the youth free their own mind and decide their own destiny. Inshallah. So it's a, you know, like you were saying, it's some nasty work going on. Some nasty, nasty work going on. But you were kind of alluding to it. But, you know, people have been using this current political climate as a means to reassert this fascist, tough on crime rhetoric. In what ways are you seeing this play out in Oakland? Nationally, and maybe, you know, what are some of the other factors that are playing internationally that is also influencing this tough on crime rhetoric?
I mean, in addition to like the over the top budgets, police budgets as it means to be tough on crime, you're seeing again what we talked about earlier, like the hyper focus on the DA and the mayor, right? But like, I don't know what more the DA and the mayor can do to show that they actually stand with the police besides say, I'm in solidarity with the police. I think recently Pamela Price said some shit like she would give somebody 100 years if she could. Yeah. You know, like, what more do you want her to do?
But doesn't that just show you, you know, this progressive, people were saying she's progressive, a progressive prosecutor. But as soon as this, the you feel me, the right wing starts chirping, You know what I'm saying? You was bending to their will, saying, nah, I'm going to lock these new Africans up too. You have Shang Tao saying, we want more police. You have Shang Tao being with the governor and allowing a five-day blitz of the CHP and saying, here's our policy with the governor to get things better in Oakland, which means what? More police, more new Africans going to prison, more new Africans being subjugated to genocidal violence.
Like, what more could they possibly do to show y'all that they are tough on crime? I'm like, bro, they bruh. These niggas want to take it back to, you feel me, 1910. Like, they trying to see niggas get lynched for stealing.
And it's going
to
be some niggas doing the lynching of other new Africans.
They want to see niggas.
It's going to be some colored people saying they're doing that.
They want to see niggas get lynched. Like, I don't know how much more the DA, the mayor, and the city officials can show that they support the police in mass incarceration. Like, they got the budgets. They doing the press conferences. The Alameda County jails are packed. OPD is making the most arrests in Alameda County. What more do you want? You want the budget to, you want another 10, you want the budget for Parks and Recs is only $40 million. What more do you want them to do? You want to see people getting the death penalty for smash and grab? Is that what we want? Right? I was watching a news clip where Shang Tao was like, if you commit a crime, you will be caught. Then, like, the next clip was showing the ages of the people committing the crimes, like 15 to 25. It's kids.
It's some nasty work, because Shang Tao got some black lackeys working for her, some black lackeys doing security for her, and that's what's coming out of her mouth? And you standing beside her saying that because that's what she want to do to black youth? It is sick and despicable.
It is. It's
in every sense of the word, it's despicable, and people should be ashamed of themselves.
It's bad.
Also, for fooling people to believe in that. You standing behind someone who says she's in solidarity with the Oakland police, who's putting the police into the streets. What does that make you?
Pig adjacent or pig not in uniform?
Private pig?
I mean, it's just, this is what we got to call it. And it's like, what is the historical basis for black people supporting fascists? Like, what is that ever for someone who claims to be in doing work for the masses, doing work for black liberation, doing work for black power? What is the historical basis for you doing this? Or are you trying to open up, you know, a new dialectic? You trying to take us on a new path? There is no historical basis for this. Like, they're like, what are you doing? And that's why I'm saying, like, we got to start judging people strictly by their actions, not what they say, because a part of neoliberalism, again, like we said, is to be able to push for human rights. We have to push for civil rights. The part of thing for fascism is to say whatever you can. It's sleight of hand tactics. I'm going to tell you one thing and do another. There's no reason why I, as a community organizer, should be supporting someone who puts the masses of the community second via their budgets. The $700 million is going to the police. I don't know how many times I can say this. What's that tells you where my priorities as a city official lies. When I say I'm in solidarity with the pigs, if I say I would give somebody 100 years if I could, you know? All we have to do is turn to history. It's we need to, if you want to see a society be better,
we need to give the society.
But you give the people the means to make a society better. Yeah. You give them jobs. You give them housing. Healthcare. You give them healthcare. You give them quality education. You give them clothing. You treat them with dignity and respect so that they can go out and then live with dignity and respect.
And treat themselves with dignity and respect. What dignity do you have when your dignity is taken away from you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what dignity do you have day in and day out when your womanhood is taken away from you? Your peoplehood is taken away from you? Your manhood is taken away from you day in and day out. And we're supposed to just live life like a dignified human beings and go into these streets and act like everything is normal.
All of us.
We're supposed to be just happy and we're supposed to live life being fulfilled. Like, this is a war.
I mean, put it like this. Most of the people here, there's no way you could be happy under these conditions.
Some people are, because I'd be around sometimes. No, I'll be looking at them like, you too happy.
No. I mean, like, I'm saying
these techies.
Yeah, I'm talking about like, you know, like true, like, working class people, there's no way you're happy with the amount of hours you're putting in and what you're getting in return, right? And there are some people who just completely choose to rebel against this system. Okay, you choose to stay in the house and mope and cry and eat and just be depressed and doom scroll. And there's some people who choose to go and exert that energy by taking what's rightfully theirs. Food, money, clothes, shelter, those are human rights. And if the city won't provide it to me, I'm going to go take it. And that's just what it is. And like, what they say, quote unquote, I've been a victim of these things. Nigga, they had cars bipped, catalytic converters taken. I would be a fool. This is what happens.
And it's frustrating.
I'm pissed.
It ain't going to turn you into a fascist.
You feel me? That's what I'm not going to do.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to turn you into just a reactionary. It's going to say, nah, we got to deepen our political.
Under the guise of what?
And deepen our work to be able to change and become our own liberators.
I'm supposed to just go even further down the scale of delusion? that's what's is. I'm supposed to just go to the opposite side of delusion? Like, no, this is not going to happen. There are true things you could do, and it's like very small things. Like, bro, just start with engaging. If you want to get involved politically, learn politics. Like, truly learn politics. Don't just see what you see. Don't just post what you see other people post. Don't just fall victim to someone saying something they know is going to trigger an emotional response to you. Oakland, we got to do better. And to do so, we're putting 700 police on the streets. Like, come on. They got you.
And we add in the CHP.
You know?
And we got the Alameda County Sheriff. And I'm saying we need to
cop city in San
Pablo. That's what they're doing.
They say these terms, Oakland. They say the things that the people on the streets are better. We are saying, we need safety. I want better for my family. I want better for my community. How about Oakland? We invested in y'all well-being. So here goes some universal health care. All these things that have been floated around in local legislation recently. Universal healthcare is going to be tried in the Bay Area. What's taking so long? If y'all can get 15,000 bombs to the Israeli occupation forces in a matter of 2 months, 57,000 artillery shells in a matter of 3 months, we can't get some
free healthcare.
We can't get no healthcare around here.
We can't have housing free. But again, that's again where it becomes the responsibility of us.
So if we can say right now that crimes are a byproduct of economics, right? That the only reason why, if we can say that, you know, people who sleep in shelters, people who sleep on the streets work full of part time, people who aren't on food assistance programs work full of part time, cost of basic goods are up, right? This is basically saying there people have no money, right? If you have no money and everything in the world costs, what do you have to do? You have to go get money, right? If there aren't any quality jobs, if society has treated you like you are subhuman since the day the people who look like you have touched place on this so-called nation, wouldn't you have a total disregard for this shit too? Wouldn't you have a, I'm gonna get it by any means necessary? In fact, excuse me, at the same time they tell you, you only as good as the designer you have, you only as good as the restaurants you eat at,
the bag you can buy, the shoes you have.
So don't get mad at the people for conforming to society standards. Y'all go, the U.S. government goes and takes resources from people. They go and rape and pillage and steal. The ultimate smash and grab is in the Congo. They don't talk about the robbery of the tantalum. They don't talk about the robbery of the bauxite. They don't talk about the 30,000 reportedly 30,000 Palestinians that the U.S. has aided in their slaughter. What about the U.S. death total? What about the U.S. crimes against humanity? What about the U.S. thefts and robbery of natural resources? What about the way that they rob you every day of your paycheck?
What about the genocide of indigenous people? What about the genocide of new African people?
Who policing these niggas? What about
the genocide of African people? What about the genocide of brown people by the United States of America? Their quote-unquote foreign policy, the Central Intelligence Agency, leading coups, overthrowing people, overthrowing nations, causing tribal wars in East Africa, launching drone campaigns. What are we talking about here?
To me, I see these folks committing crimes as taking heed. Like, oh, so this is what we on. This is what we doing. This is what I got to do, right? This is how y'all got on.
You ain't allowed me in any other space. I ain't never been able to get a job. So you force me.
Or if I do get a job, what kind of job is this?
That ain't a job, nigga. That's, if you can't afford to buy food, to have health care, to have housing, to take care of your family.
Look at this shit, 21st century sharecropping. Like, what the fuck is going on here? 21st century sharecropping.
In a technocratic state.
This some serfdom shit. This mm-hmm. is a modern serfdom shit. I get to eat after you get all your stuff together. I basically get your scraps. Niggas feeding us food that ain't really food. Like, come on. I see the youth taking, using, observing. Everybody want to talk about being scientists. If I'm 16, 17 years old.
Seeing how they get
there. And I don't got shit. And I've been living in some projects that ain't been remodeled since the 80s. And I'm looking around and I ain't got shit. And the people telling me I ain't got shit. Then I look and they over there and they taking what they want from people who look like me. Why would I respect anything? I call that, I feel like these kids out here using their common sense. Now we just need to guide it towards something revolutionary. But to mm-hmm. me, it make perfect sense why people was smashing our windows. It make perfect sense to me. Do I like it? No, but it makes perfect sense to me. This 1+1=2.
And you had the chemical warfare, the lack of mental health services.
Like, do y'all go outside to see some of the conditions they got these kids living? Have y'all been to some of these schools? Like, come on, man. So I think we've offered a lot of, you know, criticisms, but I think we always offer solutions. And I would tell somebody, like, look, we don't by no means do we have it all figured out, but we at least thinking for ourselves.
We at least looking at the historical conditions, the current conditions, the development of this nation. And I do believe we always are providing solutions in terms of building programs, being in the community, changing the consciousness, changing the ethos.
And we ain't pissing on people and telling them it's raining. That's the number one thing. They just had that. You seen the shit they was doing in terms of like who the next police chief could be. Mm-hmm. And it's all these, what they call BIPOC ass shit. Mm-hmm. Like, what did George say? A pig is a pig. What color you are. Whose interest are you serving?
They serving the blue, serving the state, serving the property, protecting the corporations, and realistically, they're going to be protecting the white neighborhoods. You feel me? They're going to be protecting the transplants, the techies, the corporations, and the people who need that protection.
Bro, the summer of 2020, or not even the summer, like that whole 2020, when like it was beautiful in the town, and it's because everybody was getting money from that ADD shit. You was hearing from niggas on the streets, like they was running into niggas and didn't even care. How could I'm enjoying my life. Niggas is taking trips, niggas eating at restaurants, niggas is buying, niggas is finally feeling like they a part of this society.
They got some.
Like they got, it was down, bro. It was down. And all the misplaced energy was, or the anger was going towards the right people. Can't nobody tell me they got my best interest at heart when they constantly putting the corporations before me. No, there's no way.
And then you go into the corporations, and what happens? What happens in CVS? Everything's locked up. What happens in Target? The most basic goods is locked up. You feel me?
That's why I say it's that lack of creativity, lack of understanding. Like, we can't even think of a world to where these niggas ain't, the police do nothing around this motherfucker. They do nothing. I watched somebody get bipped in front of the police 2 days ago. They do nothing. These private forces, they do nothing. They just gonna shoot some unarmed person. That's all they gonna do. Kill some kids. Tase some elderly person. That's all they gonna do.
Rob a food truck. I mean, but yeah, what's crazy, you know, even to your point, in 2020, it was 102 murders. Still a lot, right? But 2021, 132. 2022, 119. 2023, 124.
I was outside, so I know. Like, I was in the midst of it. I know. It was... Niggas was running into niggas at airports. Nothing was... At the lake. It was... No problems, bro. It was... Bruh, was niggas who been funking for years outside.
So that just show you what? That if people's needs is taken care of, if there's money and people is getting money, and what's gonna happen? So imagine if we seize the means of production. That's imagine what if the come, people come down to. Is in control of their destiny. Imagine if we have housing. Imagine if we have free water. social services, healthcare, how that would transform our relations with other human beings. But again, just the corporations, it's these individuals with billions upon billions of dollars, and we're living in what? Squalor.
To the people, I think we just have to first and foremost learn, again, like we've been saying, learn, and then I'll offer you an alternative by just attending something people's programs is having. Just attend something. Or just to just study everything we say and come back and say, nah, here's the flaw in your shit. But I'm trying to tell you, it don't matter what DA is put into place.
Whatever mayor. Whatever police chief.
If the economic system that governs our city is still capitalism, we're going to get
capitalist the same problems. Exact
results. Exploitation, inequalities, hatred for humanity. It don't matter if it's coming in black face, blue face, green face. It don't matter what color it is. It's going to all be the same. It don't matter what body parts it got. It don't matter what pronouns it use. If it's pushing capitalism, this is what you're going to get.
Straight up. Hella Black. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/hellablackpod. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast at, we is at, man. Go to our YouTube. Be sure to subscribe. You feel me? For the people, for the land.